We are going to hear now from Senator Fisher. Then we'll have full lunch service. Your entrees will be full after the senator speaks. She's got a vote, change in schedule on the Hill. So in order to accommodate that, we're going to hear her remarks first and then continue lunch service. I mentioned at the outset this morning, I'm Dean Reuter, and thank you all for being here, and welcome to those of you who are just joining us. This fourth annual Executive Branch Review Conference marks the launch of the Federalist Society's Law and Innovation Project. I just want to bring attention to that project, which is a years-long effort by the Federalist Society, just now beginning, to examine the ways in which laws and regulations and rules of all manner at all levels of government affect innovation, entrepreneurship, and the larger economy. So thank you all for being here. This is obviously an important undertaking for us. We're very pleased that you're here, and we're very pleased to welcome our guest speakers for our luncheon. I'm going to introduce FTC Commissioner Maureen Olhausen, who will then introduce the senator. The senator is going to give us remarks, and she will not, unfortunately, be able to take questions because she's got to get back for a vote, as I mentioned. FTC Commissioner Maureen K. Olhausen has a longstanding interest in the issues we are talking about today. Her experience addressing regulatory barriers to innovation reaches back to her position on the FTC's State Action Task Force in the early 2000s. The task force sought to identify when market participants were engaging in private, anti-competitive behavior without state authority or oversight, and it set the foundation for FTC efforts that resulted in the recent Supreme Court win in the North Carolina Dental Board versus FTC case. As the director of the FTC's Office of Policy and Planning from 2004 to 2008, Commissioner Olhausen led the agency's competition advocacy program. Through this program, the FTC comments on proposed state laws or federal regulations and has often warned against anti-competitive regulatory barriers in areas such as occupational licensing and ride sharing. As an FTC commissioner since 2012, Commissioner Olhausen's calling card has been regulatory humility. And she has offered valuable commentary on the benefits of case-by-case enforcement and urged the use of economic analysis to ensure regulation doesn't impede innovation. She's going to moderate our panel after we have lunch service, but she's also going to introduce our senator. We're very pleased, so please do join me in welcoming Commissioner Maureen K. Olhausen.
Well, thank you, Dean, for that nice introduction, and to the Federalist Society for asking me to participate in today's event. I'm honored to be a part of this, but I'm particularly honored to introduce our next speaker, Senator Deb Fisher. Senator Fisher is Nebraska's senior senator and was elected in 2012. During her tenure, Senator Fisher has been a forceful advocate for policies to promote innovation, more regulatory certainty for innovators, and modern rules for new technology. She's led the charge against regulatory overreach by the federal government, focusing on misguided rules issued by federal agencies that hurt middle-class families. Senator Fisher advocates these policies from her positions on the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, the Senate Armed Services Committee, the Committee on Environment and Public Works, and the Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. And she chairs subcommittees on both Commerce and Armed Services. Before her election to the U.S. Senate, Senator Fisher served in the Nebraska legislature starting in 2004 and held a number of leadership positions. Senator Fisher is a lifelong Nebraskan, having been born and raised in Lincoln. She is a graduate of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and she's a business owner. She and her husband, Bruce, own a ranching business near Valentine. So I know you share with me delight in hearing Senator Fisher address these topics today. So please help me welcome Senator Deb Fisher.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, for those kind remarks. And I do appreciate your invitation to be here today. I apologize that I have to leave. We have three votes coming up. We're working on appropriations bills, and I am in leadership, and so we need to get organized with our caucus here over the lunch hour. So I appreciate your understanding that the Senate schedule doesn't always allow us as individual members to have any kind of control over our own schedules. But it is a pleasure to be here with you today. And I know you're going to enjoy listening to the panel discussion that will take place later, because the panelists are people who think outside the box when it comes to dealing with the wide variety of federal regulations that we have and that continue to come down the pipeline, especially with regards to new technology. Thanks to the advancements that we've seen in technology, Americans really are living in ways that we couldn't even imagine 100 years ago, and maybe even as little as 15 years ago. I remember, and maybe some of you here in this audience remember, the old rotary dial phones, or having to wait until 11:05 at night before you would make that long distance call in order to take advantage of the rates that were lower at that time. Well, today, nearly half of all American homes have cut the cord, and they have eliminated wired phones altogether. It wasn't too long ago that families would receive an AOL CD in the mail so that they could connect to the internet through that dial-up modem. In fact, nearly every use of computer programs required manually downloading software from those disks. But now, there's an app for that. Mobile apps are changing the way we live our lives, allowing people to check their bank accounts, call an Uber, or monitor fitness goals, all with just the touch of a screen. Market research estimates that the app economy could double in size to over $100 billion over the next several years. The rapid growth in new connected technologies known as the Internet of Things has the potential to revolutionize how we connect, how we store, how we exchange that data. Cisco predicts that nearly 50 billion devices are going to be connected to the Internet by the year 2020. And this technology could generate trillions of dollars for our nation's economy. As these examples show, the technology and the telecommunications sectors are rapidly changing. Each year, these industries attract billions of dollars in investment, and they provide jobs to millions of Americans. Nebraska is also leading the way in this innovation revolution as the home of Silicon Prairie, where many entrepreneurs and innovative companies such as Huddle and Bulubox, they're headquartered. And last year, Nebraska ranked number 3 on the Forbes list of the fastest growing states for tech jobs. I'm sure many of us would agree that the government often struggles to keep pace with advancements in the private sector. The United States remains the leader in global innovation. Countries around the world look to our policies as a guide for a light touch in regulation and how this can create a more thriving marketplace. The development of sharing economy provides a good example. Companies like Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, have emerged as competitive alternatives in markets that are very highly regulated. These new disruptive technologies are flourishing with little government involvement. And consumers, well, we're the ones reaping the benefits. However, as the title of this panel recognizes, the way in which we regulate our markets, it does matter. Outdated and duplicative government regulations can stifle innovation, and they certainly can harm economic growth. Yet some believe that arcane rules written by government bureaucrats are necessary for competition to develop. Unfortunately, the result has been higher costs for consumers, fewer jobs for businesses, evolving turf battles between federal agencies, and wasted taxpayer dollars. I think the main questions that we have to ask ourselves are these. What approach should policymakers take to ensure that the United States remains at the forefront of innovation? And how do we foster that climate of entrepreneurship and economic growth, creativity, imagining, building, so that businesses will invest in our economy here in the United States rather than in China or Korea? The federal government must provide businesses with market certainty and clear rules of the road so that they can develop new products and services without the specter of regulation always hanging over their heads. To that end, I recently introduced the bipartisan Developing Innovation and Growing the Internet of Things, or the DIGIT Act. I pay my staff extra to be able to come up with these very clever names. But the DIGIT Act that we introduced along with Senators Ayotte, Booker, and Schatz. The DIGIT Act would build on a joint resolution that we introduced and was passed in the Senate last year that called for a nationwide strategy on the Internet of Things. The DIGIT Act goes further, taking steps to begin an important dialogue between the public and the private sectors with the goal of promoting collaboration and well-informed policies. Our bill recognizes that stakeholder involvement and consensus-based recommendations are needed to drive the creation of these new technologies. We don't need more rules or regulatory measures. I believe that members of Congress should work together to identify more opportunities and be able to ease some of these regulatory burdens that we face in order that we can have more competition. During my first term in the Senate, I have worked on a bipartisan basis to introduce bills that would empower innovators by modernizing our policies. For example, I joined Senator Bill Nelson of Florida to introduce the E-Warranty Act. Now, this legislation, which was signed into law last fall, it would modernize the warranty requirements and allow manufacturers to save paper and printing costs by posting those warranties online. Common sense. Similarly, I introduced the bipartisan E-Label Act with former Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia in 2014. Now, the E-Label Act, it was later signed into law, it modernized labeling requirements for electronic devices, such as smartphones and computers and tablets. Both of these bills are examples of the progress we can make when legislators work together to encourage that innovation and also to help consumers. Unfortunately, we have more work before us. I am concerned that the new net neutrality rules that were enacted by the FCC last year are going to curb growth in the tech and also the telecom sectors. Data suggests that the FCC's reclassification of the internet as a public utility would decrease investment in telecommunications networks and also increase costs for American consumers. I shouldn't have to tell my constituents in Nebraska that their phone bills are going to increase because of these muddled rules that are crafted here in Washington, D.C. Likewise, the FCC is focused on the wrong kind of competition when it comes to municipal broadband. Why is the federal government inserting itself and creating new uncertainties when states, such as Nebraska, are fully capable of making good decisions on their own? Why is this agency devoting so much time and energy and taxpayer resources to mandate these networks without changing the statute or consulting with state legislatures? Our country is at a turning point. Americans want to reap the benefits of these amazing tech developments that are happening each and every day. But in order for this to happen, the U.S. government needs to modernize its regulatory frameworks. It has to consolidate and renovate and overhaul these very obsolete rules. We are destined to lose out to other countries if our technology policy remain under the rules that predate the VCR. Today's event gives us the perfect opportunity to jumpstart this work. There are real bipartisan solutions that are out there. To be successful, we need to engage with stakeholders to learn about the policies that can help innovation grow and thrive. Basically, we need to listen. We need to listen and learn. So I thank you again for allowing me to join you here today, for everything that you are doing to promote freedom and to promote innovation through the legal system. I look forward to working with you in the future on all of these very important issues that are facing our country. Thank you.